Weekly Dose of Fat, show number 88 for Friday, January 8th, 2016.
Merry New Year! Beef jerky time. It is time for the hosts of tonight's show at the Pavilion, Sven and Gomez.
Welcome to the show, everybody.
Good evening, and welcome to the show.
Please, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to our humble studio, Mr. J.K. Liven.
Babuya, 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 ha! Babuya, 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 ha! Ha, 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 ha!
Fat Bike Radio and the Weekly Dose of Fat is sponsored by Surly Bikes. Learn more at surlybikes.com. Well, Mr. Booyah Ba Booyah Ba Booyah, what's on the show this week?
We start the show with the event of the week. We welcome Dave Weens. Next week's call-in question, spoiler alert, it's the best fat bike of 2015 question. We award the grand prize in our video contest with Becker Sewing. And precision beer drinking.
And mouse clicking.
And pop-ups blocking my computers.
Pop-ups.
Pop-ups.
Banner ads.
We take calls from our listeners and maybe learn something about beard styling and maintenance. We check in with the Fatty Farm Field Report, brought to you by the Winter Rush Fat Bike Series, the Michigan State Fat Bike Championships, and the 2017 USA Cycling Fat Bike National Championships. And finally,
it's time for the Fat Bike Event of the Week.
The event of the week is the Ur Bike in Breckenridge, Colorado on January 15th.
For every event detail, visit mavsports.com or click on the link in the show notes. What is this Ur Bike thing anyway?
It's part of the 53rd annual Ur Fest, which sounds like just this crazy good time. Back in the 50s, they burnt all their old skis and prayed for powder and got new skis and just had a wild whipping ass party. They have a parade that anybody can be in. It gets crazy. So this year, because of the Uller bike, the Borealis RV will be in it. The Reeb Cycles people will be in it. You know, everything.
We could be in it if we were there.
Yeah. Oh yeah. 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 So this is Pan-Galactic Mountain Town Antics. I was told it just gets super crazy. So they used to burn the skis, but now they burn everybody's old Christmas tree. So you can imagine how that goes.
Oh, those things are
tinder
awesome when they go.
Yeah, I don't think burning modern skis would be a good idea. Back when they were still using barrel staves or whatever, probably okay because they were wood.
Right. Modern chemical fire is bad. Bad for the environment.
That would be a class D fire.
And these would be real natural Christmas trees.
We could call Sam and ask him what we'd have to
do. The artificial Christmas tree burning wouldn't be really solving a thing. Yeah, you know, that's.
So the race itself is actually a multiple lap race. So, hey
top of the hill, boys.
Cheers.
We'll talk more about that race in just a second.
Bam.
Nope.
Oh.
So the actual race portion of the event is
it's held on Friday, and it is a multiple lap arrangement on some Nordic trails where it's spectator friendly. The group goes by the grandstands two different places kind of near the start finish. So there must be some sort of maybe there's that over
a figure eight race of death.
Flyover. But it's going to be a good time. And the Chris and his wife were last year's actually Ullerfest king and queen. So he has a big Viking helmet that he has to present to this year's king, which I think Spinner Ryerson should go out there and
is the king for next year then responsible for putting the party on?
Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. Kind of like a Gnome Fest thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That would be a good idea. We should get a big helmet for Gnome Fest.
Hey, we got a caller on the line from up there, Anchorage, Alaska way.
Let's talk to...
how's it going?
Good. How you guys doing?
Sounds like T. Ravis.
T-Ravis. What's
yes,
up?
Yes, sir, it is. Happy holidays. Belated.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you very much.
Yeah, you're a sight for sore ears. I've been hankering for some Travis. So sing us a few syllables.
Oh, man, it's dismal days in Anchorage again. Another warm rainstorm went through, wiped out pretty much all the snowpack again, and all the trails are just death ice.
Yeah, I saw that picture you sent when you said that the race, the Frosty Bottom, was going to be postponed because of the icy conditions.
Yeah, they pushed it to next weekend, and still we got a chance of snow coming through this weekend and into next week. And if that doesn't happen, I imagine they might have to push it back again.
We actually have some pretty kick-ass snow conditions here.
Yeah, we've had good snow for a couple weeks now.
Yeah. And it's, awesome. I'm telling you right now, we have crust conditions that are unfreaking believable. I was riding cornfields today, just like I could ride anywhere, bro. It was awesome. But awesome there weren't sauce. It would have been better if I would have had a polar bear on a gold chain. That's all I have to say.
Everything's better with a polar bear on a gold chain.
Well, yeah, there you go.
So, do you know who our guest this week is going to be?
Right, it was Dave Weens.
Dave Weens. Can you imagine that? They're having the Fat Bike Worlds right in his backyard there in Crested Butte, and we're going to talk to him in just a little bit here.
Yeah, Dave is part of the Toe Peak racing program.
They gave him some grips one year, and then suddenly he's on the team.
He brings a lot of experience.
Oh, yeah.
He's a mountain bike Hall of Famer.
I believe he was inducted in 2000.
Yeah, somewhere around there.
Yep. I read Wikipedia today. It told me everything.
Isn't that, you can just go in and change stuff?
I was going to do one about JK.
Really?
Yeah.
JK Lavin.
A radio and news personality from Milwaukee, Wisconsin, Mr. JK Lavin.
Once placed eighth place in the 8-inch or less freestyle beard competition down there at the
Uptowner. I don't
never see, on the podium.
I don't see me entering this year. I had a master plan, and it just the beard is not cooperating, or rather, my scissors are getting too close to my face too often.
You got the Billy Goat thing going, man.
Get the whole big douche triangle thing going, like a Willy Goat, not a Billy Goat.
Yeah, a Willy Goat.
All right,
it's like a little double unicorn.
Just going to turn into a Linda Belcher.
It's an important but subtle difference.
Can't do anything about it.
Completely.
It's not a dog. It's a double unicorn.
Is that a word? Double unicorn?
So, Travis, how are those dillies working on the icy conditions with the studs in them?
It's kind of it's sketchy enough out there right now. It's kind of a don't turn, don't lean, and try to just stay as flat as you can type of affair. They're working good. I'm still able to ride without them. I don't even think I'd want to try it.
Oh, no. When it's wet and icy, yucky.
Yeah. You just put a piece of coal between your butt cheeks before you go for a ride.
Ice ages. Yeah, it can, as it gets older, it tends to get a little texture to it, not so slick. But, it's pretty greasy out there right now. I just got back in from a ride. And a lot of the hills that I could normally make it up, I had to get off the trail, go into the woods, and walk up them.
Wow. Well, we don't have any ice along the lake here yet, so we're waiting for that since it was 38 degrees today.
Yeah, but it's going to get down to -2 on Sunday night. So.
Yay! So we will do the -2 dance.
We're going to do a studded tire shootout.
So what tires are going to be in the studded tire? I already have the
Dilly Fours.
I got those on my ape right now.
Okay, so you always put them on skinny rims, though. Do you got them in 80s or anything?
45s? Maybe.
57s?
I got them on
47s. 69s? Right now. 47s?
Hey, with all this talk about stuff, we should take a quick break here. And when we come back, we're going to have Mr. Dave Weens on the line.
So I heard you need a fat bike. Come to Zion Cyclery in Zion, Illinois. We have all brands. Trek, Borealis, Salsa, Felt, Surly, and more. Yo, we have all the cold weather gears by 45 North and Bontrager. keep those fingers and toes nice and toasty. We fix bikes also. So you have any problem? Brakes, gears, suspension? We have the best mechanics in town. So yeah, visit us at ZionCycle.com.
You're tuned to Fat Bike Radio.
Hey everybody, we're back. Dave Weens is the two-time U.S. National Mountain Bike Champion. He's a six-time winner of the Leadville 100. He defeated the likes of Lance Armstrong and Floyd Landis along the way. Please welcome to the show, Mountain Bike Hall of Famer, Mr. Dave Weens, ladies and gentlemen.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah, man. Hey, awesome to have you on the show. The reason that we have you on the show is they decided to hold the Fat Bike World Championships right in your backyard there in Crested Butte. And we heard that you just got your first fat bike. And you just did your first race. How'd all that stuff go?
It's been really fun. You know, I've been lusting after fat bikes ever since they came out. And the company that I'm associated with on the Topi Gerdon team is Canyon out of Germany, and they have a fat bike called the Canyon Dude.
Awesome name.
One of those. Yeah. The Germans they get pretty into the naming thing, obviously. But it showed up on my doorstep this fall, and I put it together right away. And at first, there wasn't any snow around here, and it was tough because there was a lot of enthusiasm. The shops are full of fat bikes. A lot of people are buying them. Tons of enthusiasm, but we didn't have the snow. And I remember going out and kind of riding it on the trails. And finally, we got some snow, and I got to get out on it quite a bit. But it's just a blast. I really like it. And then, yeah, I went over to Breckenridge and did a little race called the Fat Bike Open. Wanted to see what that was all about. And it was a gas. I really had a good time. It was on a Nordic area, and the conditions were kind of punchy. So you'd be going along, and everything would be good. And then all of a sudden, you'd see some deep, cavernous tracks. And as the race went on, it was a 3 or 4 lap affair. Some of the corners got pretty interesting, and at one point I'm just flying down this hill in a group of three and just took a little sweeper to the left and just lost that front wheel, like I'm sure all of you have experienced, and the next thing you know I'm just sliding along the snow in my head. not too much I could have done about that, but it's interesting, the whole traction game, and
yeah,
and you know, finding a good line through some of those soft turns, and it's very compelling, it's very challenging. And that race was a great experience. Although my head about popped off, there were some fast guys there. A guy named Brad Bingham from Steamboat.
And, oh yeah, we know Brad.
Kind of Taylor Sheldon. I think he was riding for Tokyo Joe's. And there was a point where those guys decided that they wanted to go. And I don't even think they were going their hardest, but I couldn't believe how hard they went. And that's the thing. I've been riding my bike quite a bit, but I just go out, and I had this area that was north-facing and had some snow on it. I just kept riding this obscure trail. I was the only one using it. Pretty long loop from Gunnison. And it was the best snow that we had at that time. This was back in early December. But I wasn't doing any of that high-end stuff. I don't do it anymore. So those guys, I couldn't believe how fast they could pedal. And I think that's what is going to happen at Worlds this year. You know, it's going to be – it's not maybe going to be quite as small a field as it's been in the past, not that it's been small, but I think that there's a ton of interest now, and fast riders are going to be coming out of the woodwork for these fat bike races.
Yeah, man. So yeah. when you're preparing for this, when you're riding the dude, are you messing with tire pressures a lot? Because, you know, with the big volume of the tire, obviously that has a lot to do with how much traction you have and whatnot.
Yeah, a little bit. It's interesting. I hope I'm not the first person to do this, and I feel really stupid, but, you know, I just started riding the thing, and I was like, oh, you know, it's a fat bike. These things don't get flat tires. And I was a long way from home on a melted trail that was rocky, and I pinched the tube, and the next thing you know, I got a flat front tire, and I'm a long way from home. I had to push. Luckily, it was a pretty nice day. It wasn't terribly cold, and I had to walk a long way before I finally got a cell signal, and I called my son, and I had him come pick me up. But as far as the tire pressure goes, it's interesting. I have a Topeak pump on order that's for a fat bike, but I'll put a gauge on it. I know the gauge isn't really very helpful. That's what I found out. Because I put in, you know, 8 or 10 pumps and the thing didn't even move. But so just by feel, I'm trying to get an understanding of how it works. But I'm so new to it that I don't really have that good feel yet to know when I press on my tire if that's, I mean, of course, it feels quite soft, but I feel like the tire pressure thing is a pretty big deal. And sometimes you're probably going to run them harder, and obviously in softer conditions, you're going to want to run them a lot softer. But almost feels like there could be a bit of almost a waxing element to that. Like if you nail the tire pressure just right, you're going to find that perfect fine line between giving you the good traction that you need and also having a pretty fast rolling setup. Is that accurate?
Yeah, it definitely depends on the conditions. That's what, you know, however many different kinds of snow and different kinds of conditions there are, you know, those variations in tire pressure from 7 or 8 pounds to 10 or 12 pounds, that's a huge range and it covers a lot of different conditions. And once you get that thumb thing going, because, you know, even a miser gauge is only reasonably accurate at those really low pressures. But when you can poke your tire and go, well, this snow feels about like this much thumb pressure on my tire.
Yeah, I don't use my thumb, though.
What do you use?
I sit on my tire. I like hump my tire. Oh, yeah.
That's right. He does the bumpity bump on the tire.
I like sit on my tire, and that's how I tell. And I want to be able to take my tread and flatten it out, especially in snow. So, I don't know. You'll get a feel for it. So, We want to know the local knowledge of what's going to go down there for Fat Bike Worlds in Crested Butte. Can you tell us a little bit about the week-long events? I mean, I'm going to be there for 8 days. I'm psyched about it.
Watch out, Crested Butte.
there's a ton of things going on. I don't know if you guys have talked to the mastermind behind this whole thing, our own Dave Ox.
Oh, yeah.
With the Crested Butte Chamber. But, sure. He's got all kinds of things lined up. The bike race is obviously sort of the reason that everybody's coming, but there's other races on the weekdays leading up. There's a Fat Bike Summit, a big advocacy summit. Gary Soquist from QBP and lots of other expertise in the world of fat biking are going to rally and hold meetings, and there's going to be a lot of good education going on. I know that fat biking is a hot topic in this valley, as it is probably in a lot of valleys, with the use on trails and how it affects Nordic skiing and whether or not they're, I don't know, welcome is the right word, but there's certainly some controversy swirling around.
Oh, yeah, just to manage them. the any potential trail conflicts, et cetera. Yeah, we stay abreast of all the advocacy issues and support all of those efforts as well.
Yeah, Dave, you are a skier, right? Do you do the cross country thing in the winter?
Oh, you bet. Yeah. No, I'm a Nordic skier. Not huge, but I like to get out and do it. And we've got our local mountain biking area, Hartman Rocks, here near Gunnison on BLM public lands, and we have a local Nordic club, and they set track out there for skate skiing and also classic, and they don't have any problem with fat bikes whatsoever until the conditions are soft and then fat bikes start leaving some deeper tracks in there. And then, of course, the Nordic skiers get a little bit bummed about that. But at the same time, they're multiple-use tracks. It's not like a Nordic center where it's exclusive, for Nordic use. People can walk on them, take dogs on them, snowshoe on them. If you have a snowmobile, you can go out there and ride your sled on them, and that makes all kinds of crazy tracks on them. So I think it's all going to work out, and I tell you what, I'm just watching our local news on television last night, but it's 9 News out of Denver. It's pretty big Rocky Mountain region news, and they talked about next time you're out on the trail in the winter, you're going to see something new, and I knew exactly what was coming, and it was a feature on fat biking, and so it's definitely hitting the mainstream, and people are digging it. And they talked, this news story was just about the Forest Service and them kind of not wrestling with it, but just trying to, right now they're locked out from use on most trails because of a regulation that didn't have anything to do with them. It was just the Forest Service saying, no bikes on trails in the winter, something like that. But, the word from this story was that the Forest Service is looking for opportunities, and they need to be, because these bikes are popping up everywhere. It's just phenomenal to see the growth.
So as an experienced Nordic skier, you talked a little bit about how when the conditions get, warmer, that the fat bikes leave tracks. In those warmer conditions, would Nordic skiers still be able to use the trails, or are they just so soft that even skiing on them would be kind of like meh?
No, and you know, in the soft conditions could be because it's warm. It could be even because it's cold. It could be pockets of sugary snow. There's just different reasons that that fat bikes or even Nordic skis will dig in more. And then what happens with snow is that whenever you change it somehow, it sets up really hard. So it might have been a soft area. Or if you go out there on your fat bike or even on your skis, right after they've groomed, that snow is still really soft and it hasn't set up yet. And then after an hour or two, it just sets up like concrete in a lot of cases. And then those tracks, whatever they happen to be, get, you know, they get sort of cemented in. But I think they're... Yeah, and I love Nordic skiing, but maybe some people in that community, just like in the hiking community, have some misconceptions about the fat bikes. And you know, I hear in other places they're pretty open to sharing. And you know, we were racing on the Nordic trails over in Breckenridge, and there's another race over there next weekend called Uller Bike at the same Nordic center. So it almost sounds like some of the Nordic centers are embracing the fat biking.
Yeah, the Nordic Center there in Breckenridge actually allows fat bikes on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. I was talking to Chris from Ullerfest, the Uller Bike event today.
Yeah.
He says hi.
Yeah, speaking of places that are letting fat bikes on, I read recently that Crested Butte Mountain Resort is allowing fat bikes to do, you know, up like the skin-up guys on the skis. They're allowing them to go before or after hours and ride on the hill. What do you know about that?
Yeah, I just heard that they made that decision, and it's a new decision, and I applaud it. I think it's a great idea. I know people have been riding, you know, some of the guys who've had fat bikes for years have been riding up there at night quite a bit. You know, it just was one of those things where I don't think they even really cared too much about it, and they stayed out of the way of the grooming equipment. But that would be just a kick to go riding up there. I haven't had the opportunity to do it yet, but I really applaud Crested Butte Mountain Resort for doing that. And they've also, I don't know if Ox has told you, but they've given a huge area up called the North Village where they've allowed us to set exclusive fat bike tracks.
Oh, cool.
I'm not actually zooming up there, but Ox has been out there, and the loop I saw on Google Earth just looks phenomenal, and I know this area where they are. And so they've got the groomer and the sled, and they're going out and they're grooming a pretty good sized loop up there. So there's really getting to be a lot of opportunities. I think that's the biggest thing in my mind is we kind of want to share the Nordic trails, but we kind of want to have our own trails. I don't get that excited about going out and riding on the Nordic trails because it's as if we're riding on a big dirt road,
right?
Which is okay. But Ox just sent me a picture of what those Rocom dirt bikes.
Oh, yeah.
You guys familiar with those?
Oh, yeah.
Here in the Midwest, man, we groom single track. So yeah,
definitely.
Twisty.
Well, that's really what.
Tight, rocky stuff. Great stuff.
I'm excited about some of those opportunities if we can do it on some of the trails around here. Well, we don't get, I mean, they get ridiculous amounts of snow up in Crested Butte. It's really soft. So they have some challenges up there to even find trails in the wintertime.
But sure.
Our trails around here right now, we've probably got a foot of snow everywhere, maybe a little bit more. And that's a pretty groomable amount. And I'd love to see the single track. And that's why those rides I was telling you about where I just kept back going back and doing that, it's called the Aberdeen Loop, you know, day after day. It was so much fun because it was single track. And every day I went, I put one more set of tracks down. And,
right. Earning those turns,
I'm
man.
An
it's
old
like
old school fat biker in that I tried riding on the snow, or I would ride on the snow a lot years ago back in the 90s when I was still living in Gunnison and trying to train for mountain bike racing. I'd go out to the Harbins area, and this was before they were grooming, and people would drive out there. And you guys know how sweet, the packed from automobiles, it gets great, really good packed snow, cold snow, very good traction. I didn't even have a four-wheel drive at that time. I bought a four-wheel drive truck just to pack Hartman's out so that I could go out there and ride my bike. Because
nice.
People would, there's one trail that people walk up to this upper road, and if I could just drive my truck around, and I was almost, I call it, this is funny, do you ever seed an area? I called it seeding an area. I would go back and forth with the fat bike to pack the snow so it looked like it had been ridden a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So that then people that came out on fat bikes would turn down that trail.
Oh, such a good idea.
It would get bad really quickly because I hadn't ridden the trail that many times, and they made it look like 30 or 40 bikes had been on it. to convince them to go down it and ride it one more time so we can work at getting it packed. And you guys know that. When, you know, we need traffic sometimes to pack the trails too.
Sure.
You want the other fat bikers out there, but
were these some of those world championship tactics you used when you were a mountain bike racer, the little tricksies like that?
But I guess what reminded me of that is I was seeding the roads out there by driving my truck on it because they'd be on tracks, and I felt like if I go out there and if I drive it once or twice, then I'm going to put tracks on it, more people are going to go driving out there, and eventually I'm going to get this thing nice and packed out so I can ride my bike on it.
Okay.
But that was such a kick back in those days, and I mean this was early mid 90s, and I'd get all bundled up and I'd ride up these roads. And then, like I said, people would walk up this one single track. It was only about, you know, 3/4 of a mile long, but it was a 400 or 500 foot descent. And you know that the walking path, what is it? It's about 18 inches wide.
Mm-hmm.
It's packed by foot. And so then it's concave. And if you fall off the edges of it, it gets really hard to get back up on it. And I just remember it was a hoot flying down that thing. And I had some big fat tires on my back. I think they were
2.2s.
Yeah. We had Panaracer, and I was trying to get the biggest, fattest. Maybe it wasn't even a 2.5.
Yeah.
Maybe a pipe train.
Panaracer Spike was my friend back then.
Yeah. Well, yeah. What's fat? What was fat then is now the skinny bike, and there's plenty of time to ride the skinny bike, but now we're in fat bike season, so.
And you guys have a race coming up there, I hear.
Yeah, the Fat Bike Worlds. It's going to be the Fat Bike event and festival of the year. And I think it's not just going to be racing. They're going to have the fun side of things covered. And you guys, all of our listeners out there, you should pack your bags and join Dave and I at Fat Bike Worlds in Crested Butte.
Yeah, I think there's direct flights out of all the major hubs. You can call your travel agent and book your flight.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, you can fly into Gunnison.
Mm-hmm.
There's direct nonstops from Dallas, Houston, Denver. You can fly into Montrose, which is about 70 miles away. There's also great flights into Grand Junction, and that's about a 2.5-hour drive. And then, of course, Denver is more like 4 hours. But all kinds of options to get in here. And you're right, they're going to have the fun stuff covered. If there's one thing Crested Butte knows how to do, it's throw a party. And I don't know if you guys have heard of it, but Ox lined up a band, Les Zeppelin's going to be there.
Les Zeppelin. They're actually like, their dressing room is the Borealis RV, I heard. Steve is pretty psyched about
I think so. I'm excited to check that band out. They sound like a lot of fun.
Hey, Dave, I know we talked a little bit before about your Topeak alignment, and that's one of your kind of part-time jobby things. You've got another part-time job over there at Western State Colorado College, or was it university or college?
Yeah, it's called Western State Colorado University.
Okay. Well, what I was wondering, I mean, I know you're kind of involved in the mountain bike team there. Are they going to get a fat bike racing team going?
You know, the only way to get one of those, I don't think anybody in the team actually has a fat bike. You know, fat bikes and college students, they don't go together that well right now, because college students are all broke, and it's a stretch for them to have one mountain bike. You know, the fat bike is kind of a quiver thing. I honestly don't know that any of the students have fat bikes, but there's a chance. There's a couple of guys, Ryan Trimble, he's a freshman. He loves any kind of bike racing. If he could find a bike, he'll do the race.
Maybe one will fall off the Borealis trailer.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. And there's a couple more that might do it, but you know, we've got just a handful of what we call endurance riders, and we have quite a few gravity riders. And of course, the gravity guys wouldn't be interested in doing any fat biking, at least not the kind of the world they're going to have. But yeah, there's a chance we could see a couple of those Western guys and girls out there. I need to do some work on that and see. You know, a lot of them switch gears by now, and they're skiers, whether they're Nordic skiers, mountaineering, alpine racers, big mountain free rides. So that's part of the mountain sports program is mountain biking in the fall. And then it used to be there weren't fat bikes, so you could put your bike away and get skis and snowboards out. But anymore, now we're able to ride year round, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, all right, man. thanks for taking the time to talk to us about Fat Bike Worlds and a little bit about what you're up to. I know Gomez is headed out that way.
Yeah, so we'll...
I look forward to meeting you guys.
We'll get to hang out and ride bikes and have some fun. Maybe, some bicycle rodeo events or, tomfoolery. Some mountain town mayhem.
It's going to be fun.
All right. Thanks again, Dave. We'll catch you next
time.
Thanks
for having me, guys.
All right, man.
See ya.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Hey, Dave Weens, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
That guy's a legend.
No doubt.
And he's going to play fat bikes in Crested Butte, Colorado.
He's opening for Les Zeppelin at the Worlds.
Hey, we got another caller on the line.
All Zeppelin.
Welcome to the radio program, Mr. John. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. How are you doing?
Good. This is John Murphy calling in from up there Bayfield way. We just did a story on the site about them grooming some trails up there, and I said, John, why don't you call into the show and just tell our listeners a little bit about what's going on? So,
bienvenidos,
man. And he actually did it, here he is.
Welcome to the radio show. This is all Spanish talk all the time.
Just kidding. It's Fat Bike Radio.
Yeah, well, we're getting pretty busy up here with the fat biking. We started getting the Bayfield area involved in fat biking about 2 years ago, and it's just boomed. And we got all ages and all genders riding fat bikes up here. We started riding out on the ice with studded 29ers or your common mountain bikes, and then everybody starts showing up with fat bikes because even though you're out on the ice, you still get a lot of snow. And even with studded tires, if you don't have a fat tire, you're not going to stay on top of that snow. And so we're right next to 21 islands. They're all national park. And so we'll ride out to the islands and do some fun stuff. And so once the numbers got increased, we got Mount Ashabay, a ski resort up there, and we talked them into having the single track trails, which Canva's built up there, to do a single track fat bike trail. And so we got a Rokan two wheel drive motorcycle pulling the groomer. Mm-hmm. And it's been a heck of a workout grooming out there, but we got a 28 inch wide single track out there, and it's a roller coaster ride.
Cool. How many miles of trail have you groomed?
It's 7 miles.
Oh, that's killer.
With basically one big loop, and then there's a smaller loop that's about 2.5 miles long. And so once you get out there and you want to keep going, you can just repeat it. But it's, some great downhill, but you have to earn it.
Yeah, cool.
You got to get up before you can go down.
Oh, yeah. I was just up in Cuyuna, and there's a lot of great groomed trail there, and quite a bit of climbing, but, man, just unbelievably great swoopy downhill. So, yeah, groomed single track is where it's at. In Bayfields, man, you should have a pretty darn good, as long as you've got the Canadian air coming in, man, you should be good for snow. And
We're set.
Do you go out there and touch your toe on the national park with your toe while you're on the bike and say, I'm breaking the law.
Breaking the law.
or do you just ride on the ice around the island? Just ride on the ice and taunt the Rangers.
Yeah. Now you can get out to the other islands and ride around without, being on the island, but where they're watching and scrutinizes those sea caves.
Oh, yeah.
And we've been working with them because the bikes, of course, showed up out there. And it's just, like anything else, when it comes to these national parks, it's just hard to change policy without a whole lot of research and rigmarole.
Right.
Well, rigmarole.
They're on board.
There you go. Red tape. You name it.
Yep.
But.
Yeah.
So Mount Ashwabay. Yeah. That's how you say it.
Yep.
Let's just change the pronunciation every time we say it.
It's still the same place.
Mount Abalone. Just call up John. He'll tell you the secret handshake, and X marks the spot. So you should probably send Sven here some sort of link to your trails. Are we actually
wrote, yeah, we already
we actually
a story
published
on
a story about
yeah,
it. Right?
We did. We're on top of stuff.
Yeah. I sent you a video. I went up there and rode like a madman. Of course, everybody that saw it, they go, oh, you sped up the film. I said, no, that's actual speed.
we'll throw and, a link to that in the show notes.
We'll have to actually slow it down so regular people will be able to see you, John.
And anybody that's got motion sickness, you know. Or
oh, it's one of those videos?
Watch it.
Dude, yeah, I can't watch those things. It's like all of a sudden, oh no.
Oh, yeah.
So thanks for calling into the show, John. You've been the best caller so far.
Well, great. Can I plug the three events coming up?
Sure.
Plug away.
Okay. First one, January 23rd, this month, 2 weeks away, will be the Double Donut Derby. It's two loops out there at Mount Ashabay. Just a small section of it's going to be the groomed single track. The rest is going to be all groomed cross-country ski trail. Mm-hmm. And the reason why is because it's a race, you need room to pass.
Sure. And the winner gets two donuts?
That's funny because we had a local bakery place. They made those two gigantic donuts.
Oh.
And they interlocked them. It looked like a modified Olympic ring.
You're talking to a fat guy here, and you know, so I might have to go up there and
donuts.
Come on. And then after the race, anybody that wants to go ride the single track, they can go ahead because that will all be groomed too, so they can have fun for the whole day.
Nice.
Instead of just doing like a 2-hour race. So that's coming up. And then, of course, we have the Book Across the Bay, which is a big cross country ski across the ice from Washburn out to Ashland. We're going to have a bike across the bay, and that's going to be February 23rd. And that's a Saturday afternoon, and it's going to go 15 miles across that Lake Superior ice.
Yikes. Hopefully with the tailwind.
And hopefully with at least some ice. And thick ice, yeah. Yeah, how's it going up there for that so far?
Well, I've actually just left Ashland. That's about 30 minutes away from Bayfield, and the ice shanties are out there already.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Oh, good.
Do you have polar bears there? No, just kidding. I know you don't have polar bears there. You got that cool iron pier out there in Ashland.
That's gone.
Is it gone?
Got it. Yeah. All they got is a slab now going out there.
And
they're still trying to figure out what they're going to do with it, if they're going to make that some type of park or whatever.
And then you got a third event?
The third event's coming up in March. And I'm not exactly sure which day, but it's going to be another bike across the ice. I think it's March 14th, and that's going to be out of Bayfield. It's during the Winterfest. And so you can go to the Bayfield Rec Center and bring up the information on that. And that's going basically down the ice road, if we're going to have an ice road this year, because the ice has been slow on the northern part of the peninsula here. And I'll go out to Madeline Island, a loop on Madeline Island, and back.
Wow, cool.
Ooh, that sounds fun.
You should do an ultra marathon that goes from Bayfield to Mackinac Island, all on the ice.
That would be awesome. That would be a long one.
I know. But you could ice fish along the way for nourishment.
Yeah, icicles.
Icicles and perch. You could, yeah.
Oh, and whitefish. We got to have our
whitefish. Oh, yeah. Okay. And a fish boil.
There you are.
All right, John. Well, thanks,
John,
very much.
That's too cool, man. I'm going to come up and see you and, just keep the light on for us. We'll be the ones.
I'm a member of the North Coast Cycling Association, so if you got any questions, I do work on the website. I'm a webmaster for their website. So if you have any questions or anything, you can get a hold of me anytime through there, too. And I got extra fat bikes. So anybody's in the area and they want to jump on one, I got them.
Right. John's your man.
If he can't do it, no one can.
Thanks for calling,
exactly.
Dude.
Exactly.
All right, John.
Okay. Don't be a stranger. Thanks. Call back someday.
Yep. Thanks for calling.
See ya.
I will. I'll keep bugging you.
Sounds good, John. We love it.
Bye.
See you later.
Take care.
All right. Well, let's take a break here. And when we come back.
Then what?
I don't know. Next week's call in question after a word from Uncle Dick's bead slip.
Show your rim some romance with Uncle Dick's bead slip. Pro bike jocks know time is money and wrestling with a tight and stubborn tire bead on a slick set of new carbon hoops is history. With just a light application of Uncle Dick's bead slip, Uncle Dick's bead slip is the official bead preparation solution of Fat Rod Magazine.
Fat Rod Magazine.
You're tuned to Fat Bike Radio.
And we're back. JK, what shall we discuss on next week's show?
Next week, we want to revisit the Fat Bike of the Year episode.
Yeah, so next week, we'd like you to call in with your choice for the Fat Bike of the Year 2015. Call 818-918-2453 between 8 and 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. You can actually call us anytime.
But I think somebody did call us and left us a message. We'll have to see what that's all about.
Oh. And you know what that means?
Oh. Top of the hill.
Top of the hill.
Cheers, boys. And that marks decent. The entrance to the 40-form field.
Portamente. Ay. Well, this week's Fatty Farm Field Report is presented by the Winter Rush Fat Bike Series.
Winter Rush is the home of the Michigan State Fat Bike Championships and will be your host of the 2017 USA Cycling Fat Bike National Championships.
For more information, click the Winter Rush banner located next to the Fat Bike VIP Lounge right there in your show notes. Or you can always visit Winter Rush. .com.
I think there's another hill.
He's going all day.
And at the top of the hill is the Becker Bag Sewing Contest. This week, we award the bag to the best video. Mr. Tupper Becker reviewed and or chose entries at will and picked Mr. Jeffrey Price.
Yeah, I think it was he won, Jeff Price.
That's what I'm saying. Jeff won. Yeah. Isn't that what I'm saying? What did I say?
Was I contradicting what you were saying?
No, I'm saying. I don't know. What did I say?
I don't know. So
the winner is a
Becker 40 below bag going out to Jeff via Her Majesty's Royal Mail Service.
He lives over there in, was he in Wales?
Wales.
North Wales, I believe. You know, there's a...
Is that the one that has the dragon on the flag?
I don't know. But
I think that was...
Somebody, I think that's Flanders.
Stupid sexy Flanders.
When I used to race the RC sailplanes, one of the best spots in the world is in Wales. And I wanted to go there then. So now I have two reasons to go to Wales.
And Jeff actually won over Bruce. It was like Wales over Scotland. It was all UK blah blah blah.
Yeah, it does have a
dragon.
Knew it.
It lives in the hill.
That information, Kate, courtesy of Adrian.
Courtesy of who?
Adrian.
He's not from Wales.
I don't know. He likes Wales.
Yeah, he's like Flipper. He likes Flipper, too. He likes other aquatic animals.
Well, I just didn't realize that there was a dragon on the... He brought it up.
All right, Adrian. Way to go, Adrian.
Way to go.
So what about next week's contest, JK Manley?
Next week, Tupper has assigned an essay contest.
Essay?
That's right. The written word shall be judged by the Fat Bike Radio staff for originality, flavor, and Fat Bike contact. Extra credit will be given to essays that mention gnomes and the role they play in the Fat Bike culture. Send your essay to Gomez at fatbike.com with the words, "Read this, Tupper," as the subject. You have until midnight on Tuesday, January 12th, to enter to win our last 40 below bag.
Read this, Tupper.
Tupper.
Read this, eh? So let's talk about all the fun and frolic we had during holiday break, our holiday hiatus.
Yeah.
We had the office party there.
That we did.
There
that's how it all started. with the two stops at White Castle and all.
Oh yes.
See, you almost like did it to yourself. But
that was a week after that, at least. Oh. Yeah, I was ill and for a decent portion of the hiatus,
which is a bummer.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, the day after the party, went on the fixation fat bike group ride number two.
Yeah,
fat bike. South of southern part of Milwaukee, going through some Milwaukee County parks and a little bit of beach, a little bit of single track.
You get down there at the Grant Park Beach.
Yeah, I don't know which. It was like three different parks, and I always get the sequence out. There's like Oramont, Grant, and
Sheridan.
Seven. I can't remember. Bridges. Probably rode through there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because we stopped at Pavilion. Ha!
Ha!
And then on New Year's Day, we did the polar bear plunge, go down to Bradford Beach here in Fair Milwaukee, and rode up and down Bradford and out to the breakwater, hung out, went up St. Mary's Hill, which not down.
No.
Not down this time. Went up, which is good because of all the how it's nice and crunchy. So you could actually go.
And you're not likely to do a shoulder injury on the way up.
No. Not at all.
JK. We're at the 5-year anniversary.
Yes, 5-year anniversary of putting my plate and screws into my clavicle.
Yeah. Ay, caramba.
Oh, caramba.
It's fun.
I went on a beach ride with Mr. Mike from Zuzu up there at the Harrington Beach area the Sunday after Christmas, I think. I think it's when you guys were playing down at Illinois.
Mm-hmm. Fatter by the Lake.
Could have been Saturday. I don't know. It's all a big blur. How was Fatter by the Lake? They got in the Chicago Tribune.
I know.
I didn't see a Gomez picture.
Yeah, you know, they probably didn't. The camera didn't survive or something, the capture. So, I did the Fatter by the Lake. That was Otis's first ride back. We had the Otis Christmas miracle of Otis being reborned there as a purple bike.
It's much more photogenic than when it was just naked aluminum.
It's true.
It gives good camera.
True story. And now, today, purple pedals from Race Face came in. You'll see those on our Instagram feed here very soon. Instagram. But I have been riding a lot since I got Otis back, man, and that's a big deal. Snow came. We have now sustainable snow. I took a trip up to Cuyuna up there with Fatty Lumpkin, and we stayed in a yurt for a couple of days and rode. Uh-oh, I'm boring Sven. He's yawning.
Oh, he's just catching his breath.
Or were you Robbie? Or
I'm at the top of the hill again.
Criminy, it's these hills.
Yeah. So Cuyuna was, how do you say cool in Cuyuna language?
I don't know. It was really good, though. 38 miles of groomed trail and lots of up and down. And, man, if you've been to Fruta, Colorado and ridden the Kessel Run, they have Kessel Run in snow there.
25 parsecs.
Less than 12
parsecs. And on my way back from the Cuyuna journey, after I dropped Fatty back off there in the Twin Cities, Fanny, we rode bikes and stayed in a yurt up there. Then on the way home, I did a nice long loop at Levis. And that's the picture that you said.
Oh, very, very, very nice.
It was a beautiful sunny day, and it was real fat biking. Cuyuna was surreal fat biking, perfect grooming, everything just flat and lovely and hardly rutted up at all. And then got to Levis, and it had been raged on all weekend, and it was like a Monday. And there were spots that were like pretty rough, but had been refrozen, and it was good. It was a good, more rustic, more real fat biking adventure in my retro
fat bike mode
world, according to Gomez.
Not just super, super slick groomed.
Yeah. And then I went
roller coaster.
I came to Silver Lake, and conditions right now in southern Wisconsin are unbelievably good crust riding. If you have a fat bike, don't go to a trail, just go to a farm field. You'll be able to ride everything, dude. Is unreal.
Speaking of riding everything, we got Dave Lunds on the line.
Hello.
Hello, Davey Dave.
What's up?
Hey, Dave, isn't this the same weekend as Frostbike?
I don't know. There you are. Shut up, Meg.
What are you guys out riding?
Yeah, we're at Alpha. We're doing beer labs.
Oh, at Alpha Trail?
Yep.
Nice. How are the conditions out there on the Alpha Trail?
Well, as Uncle Gomez was just saying, it's spectacular. It's fucking hard packed as heck, and yeah.
Is that Chad with you?
Yeah, yep. Oh, sure.
You bet, guy. That's Chad back there.
Scott was here earlier. Scott?
Melzer, yeah.
Melzer? Yeah. Nice.
Yeah. what's his name again?
So.
But he had to take off.
Do you have studs in your tire there, Stud?
I do.
I got a few more for you. They came in the shop order today, so.
Oh, man.
Awesome. Yeah, I still had the studs on from New Year's Day, and it's pretty good out here, actually, because it's really hard packed, and there's some icy sections, and I think they helped me a couple of times.
Yeah, I've been slipping and sliding a little bit.
Right on.
All good.
Right hey, when on. Are we when are we going to go to Decorah and raise hell and ride bikes?
Not for PWC, because it's not there this year, from what I understand.
I heard there might be like a secret handshake event there coming up, so you should probably.
Well, now that you just said that to our millions of listeners,
well, I
don't know how secret
when,
it's going to be.
I just said where. They can go to Decorah and hang out all winter.
I'll show up every weekend.
And wait for us to come. Who says we. Some of us don't have to work during the week.
Nerdic Fest, maybe, weekend?
But don't tell Lund about it.
Yeah, let's not tell Dave. Hey, Chad. Oh, Chad's invited, but not Dave.
Yeah, I was talking to Chad.
I'll just throw away in Chad's truck.
All right, Chad.
Right on.
Truck.
All right, we got another call, guys. Have fun out there.
All right, have fun.
Bye.
Bye.
See ya. Dave sounds amazingly sober.
I was thinking he was kind of like, how slouches his chicken snack.
It's funny, we have the exact opposite.
Or that's because you're used to him.
I was being really sarcastic.
hey, old bear, I got you on the line here. What's happening?
Hey, nothing much. Just wanted to call up and say thanks for getting the shirt to me in time. It's my pride and joy.
Oh, yeah. Your son gave you the money for the shirt, didn't he?
Yeah.
Nice, man.
It was so sweet. I mean, I wear it all the way, all around over here at the home. And, well, the only shirts I wear are the Too Fat. I wear a Surly shirt. I wear a TooFatBike.com and the Bear shirt.
Very good. Well, they got to throw them in the wash once in a while, so you got to switch them up.
Yeah, I do. They get washed almost every other day.
How's conditions down there for riding?
Dry right now. No snow yet. They're talking about snow this weekend, but that's typical of Missouri. You know, we don't get an awful lot of snow.
You're not in any of the danger zone for flooding there, are you?
No. We're up about 1,100 feet here.
Ah, right. Now, that'd be a pretty high river to get up there.
Lake the Ozarks.
The Wonder Road by us did flood and closed down Highway 44. Rubidoux Creek. They had a big flood by St. Louis that closed down 44, and my one friend got trapped on the other side, was there for 3 days, so.
Oh, man.
But I've been riding, even getting out, bundling up. You know, we get 40-degree days, and that's, you know, insulated flannel shirt, long sleeve t-shirt, and then a t-shirt over that. Wear the helmet, get out there and ride. Had a really good ride, and those tires. Oh, my goodness. The other day, I was doing 12 miles an hour on the trail over there. I was just pushing it for all it was worth. And those tires just grab, and they don't let go. A lot better than emissions.
Yeah, glad you like them.
Yeah, that sounds cool. We've been, we were just talking about the riding that we were doing over the holiday.
Yep.
Here, all of us been getting out.
Saw that write up on the thing about that ride that you did, Gomez, out there in the West.
Oh yeah, in Washington. That was a fun weekend.
That sunset shot. My wife and I go, we were just there.
Yeah, I believe it. That was the very first click of the shutter. That was the first picture I took of the trip. So, you know, it and it got better from there. It
was you it can was hear that, too. Right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I got some pictures I'm going to be putting on the Fat Biking and Health this Friday.
Oh, yeah.
From Global Fat Bike Day.
Oh, cool.
We had a dinner here at the home, and I declared it for my family, Global Fat Bike Day dinner. And one of the aides dressed up as an elf, and I told her she was a gnome.
you make the Gomez very happy. That's you got to make.
No, gnomes are an important part of the fat biker's diet. I mean,
So true. So you're gonna have to try and enter our contest next week. We have an essay contest. You'll have to
an essay contest.
Yeah, an essay contest. And there's then there's bonus points for including gnomes into the story. Oh, so
what's the topic of the essay?
Just has to be fat bike.
Fat bike oriented.
Yeah. And Tupper Becker is the guy who's going to judge it.
I can write my ode to black bikes.
Oh, yeah, there you go. That's a good one.
I started on a black bike, and I'm still on a black bike.
Yeah, I have a couple of them. Now I have a purple bike.
Started on a 16-inch Schwinn with hard rubber tires.
Yeah, I think my first 20-inch Schwinn was, but it had pneumatic tires, was black. I turned it into a Stingray.
Yeah, mine was all black. Then I went to a black. Well, I went to an Evans. I can't. If you remember what Evans were, they were sold in some store up there in Illinois. And my grandfather got me one of those. It was red, but I painted it black.
Paint it black. Black is red. Oh, I want to paint it black.
They're doing Mick Jagger imitations in here. It's all of a sudden like they're pouring 7-Up on the stage and wearing platform shoes. It's madness.
I know he's doing that on purpose.
he's
like,
do I have to email the essay to you, or how can I do it? Your machine doesn't take text, does it?
I don't know. You could recite it as a voicemail. You could do a reading.
I could, yeah.
Call the 818-918-2453 and do a reading and leave a voicemail.
Yeah, spoken word. That would be BA, okay. You know.
Yeah, I'll start writing it tomorrow probably Sunday. What's the prize gonna be?
It's a Becker 40 Below bag, so you'll be able to bring some iced teas or some delicious orange
Fanta soda,
which is what Dr. I'm Pepper. Having. Oh, Dr. Pepper, the sweet one.
Diet Dr. Pepper Cherry.
Oh,
yeah, I can't drink the straight stuff anymore.
That's no, I never do. I'm all diet all the time.
All diet. I did have a Sprecher root beer today.
Did you?
Just because I'm
a diabetic, so
I think I'm learning to be a diabetic.
I'm training. I'm pre-diabetic. I'm training to be one.
It's not a laughing matter. It runs to my family.
You know.
So
you guys are big like me. So
I'm working on trying to slim down now. I am too.
That's why I'm getting out and riding more because I got here in the retirement suites, and it was like, oh, all this good food. Didn't do my waistline any good.
Yeah, now
and
I have
I'm
to
being very careful.
I have to look
Made
at food just as fuel.
Playing Mr. Ranger to my Yogi Bear, to my old bear. he's monitoring what I eat.
Oh,
Wade's
cool.
pretty good dude.
Yeah.
All right, old bear. Well, we gotta finish this puppy up here.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
hey, if you ever get a chance, my son's got a cup and he needs a couple stickers. Could you think you could float me a couple stickers down this way?
Oh, sure. Yeah. You still have old bear's address?
I'm sure I do.
All right. just I'll get the address from Greg because I think I'm the keeper of the stickers. You probably have some though too.
I don't know. You probably have the newer ones.
I do have the newest ones.
All right, Alder. We'll make that happen.
I'll get that address. We'll send you some stickers.
Give us 3 or 4 months. We'll probably get to.
Oh, yeah, I might bring them down because I'm gonna come down and go riding down there. You and I are going to go ride that park, and you're going to probably kick my ass.
I won't kick your ass. Not with my knees.
And then we'll have a diet Dr. Pepper and sit on the porch.
Cherry. Have you seen these?
Sit out under the cherries.
I bet you.
Lemon? What?
I bet you with I bet you, with my gift of gab, we'll have the nurses rubbing our feet and getting us drinks, and it'll be just a big party. It'll be.
Yeah, man.
And you have to meet Mama Bear. You have to meet my wife, Sue, Mama Bear, and you have to meet Cubby Sean.
Absolutely.
If you ever get down there on the thread, go ahead and post. If you're having a struggle with weight, go ahead. Post your struggle. We support people.
All right. I have Oprah on my side. Weight Watchers. That's my gig.
Oh no.
Yeah, me and Oprah.
What's that? Mr. Jim's nodding his head. Mr. Jim's working on a fat trike for one of our guys that owns a restaurant.
Yeah,
this is going to be pretty cool.
He just. He did an ad addict to me to a fat bike, but the dick is an extra wheel in this case.
Extra fat tires too.
I hate to get medically and technical and all mechanical on you at this juncture in the show. I mean, we're practically on overtime here, but this is what's going down. We are going to ride a fat trike. In the hallway. We have links, but we don't care. Thanks to Surly. We are out of here. This is the first show of the year. Old Bear and Travis.
We're going to ride a trike.
We're
going to
go ride a trike.
See you next week.
All right. See you guys.
You've been listening to Fat Bike Radio's weekly dose of fat. Find us on the web at fat-bike.com/radio. We'll see you next time.